You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think he is used to getting things his way, and it's been almost an imperial governorship. But I got to tell you, the folks in this state and the political leadership don't believe him anymore. He doesn't have any credibility. So I think an impeachment proceeding will begin, and I think he will be impeached. And perhaps right before that, he'll decide to resign. That's probably the most likely outcome right now. But I got to tell you something. He should resign right now because he's holding up our effort to fight COVID. He's literally in the way of us saving lives right now.
There you have it. And he did it with a smile, I'm sure. That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio talking about the New York Governor Cuomo. Gotta go. Cuomo, gotta go. March 15, 2021. President Biden still not really saying Cuomo's got to go. He's just kind of breaking from the party. Most Dems have said he's got to go. Biden and Harris following his lead, saying, well, let's see the full investigation. Let's wait and see the investigation. And Nancy Pelosi's kind of walking that same plank at this point. They just don't want to move forward on it. There's too much at stake. I mean, the capital, the cachet he has, the followers, They're not sure which side of the fence to come down on. Now you know if it were Trump or Donald Trump Jr. or, oh, let me see, the guy they say could be the next Donald Trump, according to some at CNN, Tucker Carlson. If he were involved in something like this or accused of it, there would be no hesitation whatsoever. And keep in mind, Biden is in a very awkward position with these allegations against Cuomo. Inappropriate touching, getting in our space, remarks, innuendos, sniffing hair. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Cuomo didn't do that. No allegation of that. That's Joe Biden. All of those, including leaning over and sniffing my hair. That's what Biden has been accused of. Now, again, these are just allegations from these women. But in the midst of all this, keep in mind, the biggest issue that should draw attention, that should be grounds enough for Cuomo to go, not the allegations of sexual harassment, but the fact he was covering up nursing home numbers, altering them, changing them, giving directions that they should not be released as they were supposed to be. And there, on that point, Mayor Bill de Blasio says that itself, that's a cover-up. He can't stay around. By the way, speaking of that COVID relief package, of course, $2 trillion. I know they say $1.9 trillion. Come on. At that point, are you really going to argue and hassle over $0.1 more? But that COVID relief package, the question has been from the very beginning, could that lead to inflation? Have you looked at gas prices lately? I'm sure you have. And keep in mind, that's going to hurt some more than others. And while you're thinking about, well, what could be done to keep it in check, here comes a word from the White House. Biden planning the largest tax hike in decades to finance spending. The largest tax hike in decades to finance the spending. It had to be paid somewhere. You know that. And they're talking about, well, it may be a wealth tax. Treasury Secretary Yellen says, well, yeah, we might have some future taxes to help. We might? And you're the Treasury Secretary. You know darn well you're going to need taxes. And when they say wealth taxes, watch where they draw the line. They're going to get a lot of middle Americans caught in it. And what do you think China is thinking about how we're suffering right now? J. Michael Waller, security analyst for the Center for Security Policy, is going to talk to us about a former State Department COVID investigator who believes that COVID was a bioweapons research accident in China. And what would be their next steps for it? Plus how China is playing us and being successful in many ways right now. The honeypots, the Chinese spies coming in, getting romantically involved with U.S. politicians, Congressman Swalwell, California, who's still on the Intel Committee, appointed by Nancy Pelosi. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. And I appreciate you spreading the word because this program is blowing up in the numbers right now. And I appreciate it. Oh, and if you didn't watch the Grammys last night, I certainly understand why. But I'm going to talk about them. Stand by, lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go, 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 go. And we're down, we go, 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 go. So we're down, we go, 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 go. Way down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You let your...
Actually, the facts are these. There are more children, about 600-700 more children, unaccompanied children, coming over the border. This is a humanitarian challenge to all of us. What the administration has inherited is a broken system at the border, and they are working to correct that in the children's interest.
No, no, no. We're not going to go let that lie go unchallenged. Nancy Pelosi saying... It's Trump's fault. If there is a crisis at the border, which last week they were saying it's not a crisis, it's a challenge. And remember, they changed the name of the detention camps to reception centers. And more are coming. And Mayorkas, the head of DHS, went down the other day with Susan Rice, of course, a previous member of the Obama cabinet. And they were going to tour and look at the border, and reportedly from those who saw them come and go, they really didn't stop to talk to anybody with any experience and any knowledge. What'd they do? Just go down and, I don't know, have tacos? You can get some good tacos in South Texas along the border, believe me. Not like that idea. But they haven't really reported anything beyond just going that we went. Well, they still were insisting there's no crisis, and we have it under control. And yet at the same time admitting, yeah, there. Even Jen Psaki last week had to admit that I'm sure a lot of them are coming because they misunderstood Biden. The welcome mat is not out yet, and we're trying to tell them don't come now. I'm getting conflicting information, by the way, references Title 42. I told you last week Border Patrol agents in the field, they cannot talk publicly anymore. They're told everything has to go through the Department of Human Services PR or somebody like that. But the report was that Title 42 is no longer being enforced. Title 42 gives federal authorities the right to take anyone that comes across the border, and if they are a health threat, they can send them back. Well, we've been telling you already, they've been letting many, they would positive test some. And in one Brownsville bus station, just in one bus station, they rapid test about 100 or more illegals at that bus station before they boarded buses to go who knows where. And 6%+ of them came back positive. They didn't send them home. All they did was say, listen, wherever you're going, when you get there, you need to quarantine. Right. But again, if there's a problem, if there's any issue down there, it's Trump. Biden inherited a mess. That's what they were saying yesterday, and they got that line down pretty good. I will not let that lie go unchallenged. It's a flat-out lie. And the numbers at the border when Trump was still in office were substantially lower than what they are now. I mean, you would see maybe 1,200 to 1,500 maximum being apprehended a month. We're way past that, and they're not being apprehended. They're just being received and given transportation to go wherever they want to get other family members or whatever. And they have tried to keep some of the children separate for a while to verify that the person they're with, the adult, is actually related to them, because child trafficking is a big, big deal. And you don't think the drug cartels are familiar with how to use that in addition to getting drugs brought across? When Biden made it clear that we will welcome immigrants, they said, let's go. Even the president of Mexico said, they all think he is the migrant president. But they're blaming everything they can on Trump. On Trump. He's not there to kick around anymore, but it doesn't make any difference. It's got to be Trump's fault. Biden inherited this mess. He did not inherit what we have right now. Because the first thing Biden did is one of his executive orders is cancel a Trump order that made anyone who was seeking asylum in this nation, you had to stay in Mexico while your case was adjudicated. Biden wiped that out, so they're all coming across now. And they don't want to stop coming because they are afraid at some point, Biden might really get a decision, or someone will push a decision to let's shut it down for a while. Don't let anyone else in. Now, do you want to be the one on the other side of the fence when they say it's all closed down again? No, of course not. Right now, we have House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and a dozen other House Republicans at the southern border. They're in the process of doing a news conference from El Paso, Texas. And, of course, McCarthy is pointing out that we keep hearing Biden blaming Trump. He said the fact is, and I'm reading one of the quotes, this is from House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana. He said, this is something that President Biden created, and he can fix this today by reversing the order. It is that simple. It is that simple. If Biden had the cojones to sit down and rewrite a new order, say, well, keep them over there. Don't let them come on anymore. Let's go back to the Trump-era immigration policies, the Remain in Mexico policy. Let's strike the asylum policies that we have began to recognize. Scalise said, Biden has got to realize the policy failed. Any good leader would look in the mirror, and if they made a mistake, they would acknowledge this is a mistake, and they would fix it. Because he himself can fix this right now. First step, though, you got to admit there's a crisis. And they don't want to use that word. If they have to use it, they put Trump's fault behind it. A major lie. Major lie. And I guess they think the American public just understands or doesn't understand numbers. They were so stupid that we don't realize when you look at the 400, 600, 800% increase of illegals and children coming across now compared to when Trump was in office, it's Trump's fault? The day the election, well, at some point during there, because the election was obviously up in the air for a period of time, and yes, almost 50% of the nation still does not think that Biden was properly elected. I agree with that, but we got to move past that and look to the future. But as soon as it became evident that Trump was not going to be there, the caravan started. It was easy. They wanted to come anyway, and here went the coyotes running around, grabbing them up. And you know what they're charging them? $10,000. $10,000. Now, I don't know how they come up with the $10,000 down there. And in many cases, you know the fact, the real fact is, they don't. When they come across the border, they're in servitude to someone that might handle them. And they may have to work it off. And I don't mean work in the field somewhere. I'm talking about women in particular on their back serving as prostitutes, and children also will have to work it off. And I don't even want to go into the sordid things that will happen to those children because they're coming across and whoever is bringing them cannot really afford it. So they're making a deal. And there are cases in the past that, unfortunately, families have decided to sell a child to get the money that they need to get some of them across. For all those folks who complain, and rightly so, about slave trade and so forth, you need to look at this situation because this is a clear example of it happening right now. Just answer me this. I mean, where does someone living in Mexico or Central America, and they're coming here to have a better life, we're told, and many of them want that. I mean, truly, they want that. We are the beacon on the hill. They want to come here. They want to be here. They're hoping to make money and send money back to help the rest of their family. But how many of them do you think, where they are right now, have $10,000? And if you think the drug cartel is going to say, well, we'll cut your reduced price. Sometimes they will. If you could bring in a couple of children, they'll say, you know, we'll work out a cheaper deal for you. Three for $20,000 or something. But if you don't have that, you're still going to have to work it off. And if you fail to work it off the way they want, if you fail to do what they want when you get across the border, they've already got cartel members in this nation. And gangs that will carry out their bidding. There will be no safe haven. And there will be an increase in crime against minorities carried out by cartel members because somebody could not afford the $10,000. So McCarthy and the other House Republicans right now are pointing out that we have seen this issue growing, and the Biden administration is seeing it, but they will not recognize it. Democrats insist, oh, Republicans, you're blowing this all out of proportion. The Republicans are not manufacturing the numbers. The numbers are right there. Now, when Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security, went down the other day with Susan Rice, no reporters allowed, no photographers. They did not want it documented. Now, why would that be? You know why? You know why exactly? Because that would prove exactly what we're saying. There's a crisis down here. Congressman McCarthy said he talked to a mayor of a border town. And he said the facilities down there are so packed, Border Patrol is left to just release migrants in the middle of the town. Just let them go. And he said there's a car chase just about every single day. And yesterday there's a head-on crash as some were trying to get away. And he added, migrants are sometimes armed. In the last 2 weeks, they had to shut down schools because, not because of COVID, but because armed migrants are in the area. And in January, multiple officers were shot, and that's just in one community along the border. But we're supposed to believe it's got to be Trump's fault. I will not let that lie go unchallenged. Neither should you. And then, of course, when the Democrats start really grasping for straws to show that they really have the children and humanity first and foremost, not politics, they go to the Bible. Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, found an opportune time on one of her interview programs over the weekend to start quoting what an evangelical said to her, and she wraps it into her message. Listen.
I always like to quote our friends in the evangelical movement. At one of our rump hearings we had before we had the majority, the representative said to us, the United States refugee resettlement program is the crown jewel of American humanitarianism. So we have certain responsibilities that we must honor. We have to have a system that accommodates that, and that is what the Biden administration is in the process of doing.
Yep, it's all humanitarian. Quote the Bible. Well, I'm all for humanitarian. I mean, you care about those kids. I do, too. You care about your kids. You care about American kids. They're using it now just as a weapon. And then a warning about new election laws. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A couple more notes about this crisis at the border that Biden and the Dems want to blame on Trump. I mentioned a moment ago that this trip that the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, and Susan Rice made the other day, no cameras, no photographers, and I mentioned that some are saying they didn't really talk to anyone. That remark comes from Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat of Texas, and Cuellar, a Democrat in Congress, said that trip was insufficient because the White House delegation, quote, didn't talk to anybody, not even members of Congress down here. So I ask again, what did they do? Well, it wasn't a photo op because they didn't allow anybody to shoot any pictures of it. Oh, and Jen Psaki said last night, I forgot to say, she was saying the majority of people that come to the border will be turned away. That's a lie again. They're not turning anyone away at this point. But I'll give you the numbers again. In the first full month of Biden's presidency, Customs and Border Patrol reports 100,000 encounters with migrants, illegals. So far in this year, 97% higher, 97% higher than all of last year. It's even 24% higher than 2019 when there was another crisis at the border. You know, again, why we're in this. Why we're here is because elections have consequences. Even Obama admitted that. We were not able to get the Senate seats in Georgia, so now the Democrats control the Senate, the House, and, of course, the White House. And now they're pushing through this H.R. 1 that's going to be dramatically changing elections going forward. It will basically federalize all elections and micromanage state elections. In other words, just doing away with parts of Amendment 10, which if laws are not specifically designated to the federal government nor prohibited to the states, then the states can do it. Stacey Abrams wrote an opinion piece for CNN. Stacey Abrams, of course, had run for governor in Georgia, remember? Even Oprah went down to campaign for her. She still thinks she should have won. See, they can claim all the time that we would have won, but we got cheated. But you dare use that word about Trump in this last election? You're a conspiracy theorist. You must be thinking you were taken up in a UFO last night, and they took your parts apart and showed them to you and stuck them back and delivered you home again. So the 2018 Democrat gubernatorial nominee in Georgia, who still will not admit that she lost and thinks she should be there, she's saying that if we don't do something to protect voting rights, Republicans will suppress it. They want to call it a redo of Jim Crow. They like to throw those words around, make people kind of back off, say, no, I'm not trying to be racist. I think we should have identification at the election poll to know who you are. And quite honestly, minority voters, you should be among those up there saying, I'll make sure that someone didn't vote in place of me before I got here. It's your vote too. Protect it. This is not going to protect it. I mentioned a moment ago that Biden is already planning the first major tax hike since 1993 in his economic package. When we come back, you're going to hear from Janet Yellen, Federal Reserve Chair. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I think it's the right size to address the very significant problem that we have. You said we've lost 9.5 million jobs. If we were properly measuring unemployment, it would register over 9%. We need both relief for the people who are suffering because of what's happened with the economy. We need to defeat the pandemic. This package really does that. It provides substantial aid. There'll be $1,400 checks going out to 85 the members of 85% of American households, $3,000 payments to children, $3,600 for children under six, unemployment compensation that will extend through Labor Day, money to address the eviction crisis, to address people who are behind on their mortgage payments.
I made a mistake earlier. I said Fed, that she's with the Fed. I'm talking about the Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen. My bad. But there she was appearing on ABC with George Stephanopoulos talking about that this $2 trillion package, she said, I think it's the right size to address the significant problems. And then she started going through about we've lost 9.5 million jobs. Why don't you stop and think about that? We had those 9.5 million jobs filled when Trump was in office and the economy was booming until COVID hit our shores. And in the next hour, we're going to be joined by a senior analyst for the Center for Public for Security Policy. And more allegations that COVID was a bioweapon in the beginning phase, and either by accident or maybe intentional, it was released. And look what it's done to our economy. Look what it's done to our public. And of course, the deaths. 530,000, I think, at last count in the U.S. And yes, people are suffering. Businesses are closed down. They've been closed for some time. Some will never reopen again. And folks who have lost their money and they don't have a job. Folks who were out there every day working, I mean, they might have complained about the hours and be tired and everything, but by God, they were getting a paycheck. And now that is gone. So we're trying to get them back. But the problem with that $2 trillion package is only 9% at the maximum, 9% actually helping the people that you heard Yellen say we need to help. She said we've lost 9.5 million jobs. Well, sure, we need to help them. She said if we were measuring unemployment right now, it'd register over 9%, 9%. I think we're approaching 2% before COVID hit. And so sure, we need something to help those people. The checks, they will help some, and in some cases, they're going to people that don't really need it. There's no sense trying to break it down now as to how it's going and if it's going to be of value, if it's used properly, if it helps families. Okay, and then they're talking about unemployment to extend through Labor Day. Well, if folks still need help, I see there's some areas here I can certainly give with, I can go along with. And then money to address eviction crisis. Well, we don't, no good time to evict people right now. But I want to remind you, if they cannot pay their rent, if they cannot make mortgage payments, the holder of those properties is now also in jeopardy. The bank wants the money. The bank wants the money. I don't have it. My renters can't pay it. The homeowner can't get it to. Well, we want the money. She went on to say we have 22 million Americans who say they don't have enough to eat. So there's additional money for food stamps. State and local governments laying off 1.4 million workers. They're going to get money. They need to keep those, quote, essential workers on the payrolls. Whether or not they're essential, I don't know. But again, if we're helping people, yes. But the $2 trillion package is filled with pork. And I don't mean anything you can eat. It's filled with all these goodie packages for all the special interest groups. You want to tell me how that $2 trillion COVID relief bill means anything regarding helping deal with COVID by sending money to Planned Parenthood, to the Institute of Arts, to creating an effort to maintain and protect the American Indian language? Give me a break. Oh, and then, of course, the idea is trying to get schools open. I mean, can you get schools open? That's another idea, right? Well, a lot of the money in there that's scheduled to help schools open is going to be spent for 3-4 years down the road. It's not helping today, and I still want somebody to tell me, why can't you just throw the doors open and students come in? You could. They are doing it in many states. They have been doing it. Some students had just missed briefly in school learning. They went back, and they've been doing fine, and no major outbreak whatsoever. And the biggest super spreader we have right now is illegals coming across the border that the Biden administration is allowing. And even if they check them and they find they're positive for COVID, they don't stop them. I told you last week, the CEO of Greyhound says, this isn't right. Our own customers have not been riding because you told them don't travel anywhere, stay home, so it's cost us money. We've had to lay off people. And now you're going to use our buses. You want us to use the buses for taking care of illegals who probably have COVID, and we're supposed to put them all on the buses and let them go, right? Oh, and I didn't even mention to you a moment ago that it's already been decided that the U.S. is going to house some 3,000 immigrant teens at the Dallas Convention Center. They're going to take 3,000 of these immigrant teenagers and take them to the downtown Dallas Convention Center. Going to be used for 90 days as early as starting this week. The Dallas City Council got the word from the federal government, and here they come. It's going to be housing boys ages 15 to 17. Then they're going to open what they call a decompression center. U.S. and Health and Human Services rushing to open facilities to house these immigrant children currently being held by U.S. Border Patrol, and they'll say, we don't have a crisis. But if we do, it's to be blamed on Trump. So if you're going to go ahead and you're having all these largesse issues to send checks out and help people, and I'm all for helping people, but if you really want to help them, why not take, let me just say, let's say another 20% instead of just 8%, take another 20% of that COVID relief bill and redirect it actually to individuals and individual issues and small businesses. That would be impressive. But that wouldn't help their lobby efforts and the future donors that they're after. Well, while she was on there with George Stephanopoulos, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, he raised a question, which is a very good question.
Listen. How about inflation, though? Your predecessor, Larry Summers, has warned of the dangers. Economist Mark Zandi says investors are underestimating the dangers. If we get back to full employment, could we see inflation surge? How big a problem is that?
Well, you know, policymaking is about identifying and addressing risks. And the most significant risk we face is a workforce that's scarred by a long period of unemployment. People being out of work, not able to find jobs, can have a permanent effect on their well-being. I think that's the most significant risk. Is there a risk of inflation? I think there's a small risk, and I think it's manageable.
Of course there's inflation. You're the Treasury Secretary. You got to know. Have you bought gas lately? Janet Yellen? No, you probably don't. You have the driver fill up the limo and pick you up. Have you looked at the mortgage refinance rates? They're spiking. One key rate still below 3%, but it's going up as of today. There comes some inflation. And then how are they going to pay for it? Well, they're talking about maybe a wealth tax. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Listen to this nonsense.
Prices fell a lot last spring when the pandemic surged. I expect some of those prices to move up again as the economy recovers this spring and summer. But that's a temporary movement in prices. To get a sustained high inflation like we had in the 1970s, I absolutely don't expect that. We've had very well-anchored inflation expectations and a Federal Reserve that's learned about how to manage inflation. So I don't think it's a significant risk, and if it materializes, we'll certainly monitor for it, but we have tools to address it.
Yeah, we have things in plan to, if it materializes. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, still saying, well, if it comes, it is in our face right now. Somebody sent me word the other day that in New York City, gasoline is now $5 a gallon. Now, I don't know if that's right. Of course, you got to also look at all the taxes they're throwing on it. And now when they say a wealth tax, you have to keep in mind, I remember my dad. He said, well, you know, we're just kind of middle-income people. But then all of a sudden, a tax got put on by the Obama administration, and suddenly we're in the rich category. I never considered us rich. I worked all my life in the oil field, and I'm suddenly rich, at least enough for them to take more taxes. And Biden's first major tax hike is in planning. I'll give you details of that when we continue.
Into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, here it comes. Biden is apparently planning the first major tax hike since 1993. Spending bill will include hikes in the tax rate, of course, paid by corporations and, yes, wealthy Americans. What's wealthy? Well, we'll see what they end up targeting. The first major tax hike in 30 years for his next economic spending bill to follow the $2 trillion coronavirus relief package. And this one is going to be bigger. Hot dog. It's not enough to have $2 trillion. Now we're going to make this one $4 trillion. And they're going to hit an increase in corporate tax rate. Do you remember the idea and what Trump did in dropping the corporate tax rate and pulling it back? More companies start bringing their business back to our shores, hiring more people, Americans. You push that tax rate up again, there they go. And I don't blame them. Why in the hell would you want to stay here and pay a tax rate from 21% up to 28%? But that's what they plan on doing. And, of course, Biden still has not held a news conference. 54 days and counting, still no official news conference. But they have a reason. They have a reason. The White House is defending his absence, saying, well, he's been focused on the pandemic. Uh-huh. Really? Right. Right. He's focused on the pandemic. That goes right along this storyline that Brian Stelter, whatever his name is, Stetler, I could care what his name is, on CNN, is suddenly proclaiming that Tucker Carlson is going to be the next Donald Trump. Now, he does not mean to run for president. I don't think that's what he means. But just that he's the one that's now out there on social media and available to make comments all the time that maybe Trump would. So he's saying, that's the next Donald Trump. Well, he just certainly built Tucker Carlson's ratings up immediately, didn't he? Because look what's happening in our nation, not only the pandemic, not even the illegals, all this stuff, but the cancel culture, and at the same time just turning our back on some common sense, and at the same time maybe turning our back on morality more and more. I'm not one to judge somebody. I have enough time justifying myself with God, so I'm not going to judge anyone. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm not capable of judging anyone else. But there's some things you say that's got to be beyond the pale. You know what they did last night at the Grammy stage? Because you probably didn't bother watching it. Rapper Lil Baby. I don't know Lil Baby. It's not even little. It's Lil Baby. Had a song, The Bigger Picture. Had to include a speech from Black Lives Matter activists. Looked into the camera, demanding Biden bring, quote, justice, equity, policy, and everything else that freedom encompasses. And then they had another Black Lives protester who can be seen running and shot in the back as he runs from actors posing as police officers. Rioters arrived to throw Molotov cocktails at a building. And then rioters face off with police. Lil Baby standing on top of a police car. That is entertainment at the Grammys last night. I'd already heard and seen some tweets and messages going back and forth last night. I wasn't watching the thing. I'm playing poker. Yeah, I certainly cannot judge you for what you do. I play poker. So that's what I was doing. That was my sin at the point. It's only a sin if I lose. But anyway, I'm playing poker, so I'm not really watching. But I'm watching texts and tweets go across, and people are saying, I really want to sit down with my child, we often do, to kind of watch the Grammys because see who gets what and be entertained. He said, but it got so obscene, I couldn't do it. I had to turn it off. I had to send the kids out of the room. I don't want my kids exposed to some of that. Apparently, there were some very risque dances and risque costumes and things of that nature, which they're not PG rated. And apparently also a lot of folks that were entertaining that most of the audience had no idea who they were. And the song of the year for the 63rd Grammy Awards, I Can't Breathe. Of course, reference to the death of George Floyd. That won Song of the Year. Now, I'm thinking about other artists, and I don't know who else would have been in the competition for Song of the Year. And they're thinking, my song was really good. I had a good song. But I missed the idea of the content. I missed the idea. It is kind of like you write a great book. You write a great book and you're releasing it at the same time. Oh, Michelle Obama releases another book, and you can't even find your book because Michelle Obama book is piled everywhere. Well, if it's a good read, you might like it, but But you had a good book. Your timing was off. And so some of those competing for Song of the Year last night, you should have seen that one coming. Sucks to be a loser, doesn't it? Coming up in the next hour, China. A State Department investigator working on the COVID team is saying what happened could have been a bioweapon accident, or maybe more. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.